And good evening. Welcome into the Cave Studios. Jeff Bowman, Fred Smith with you here on the Saints Sports Weekly. Tonight here on 965 The Cave, 965thecave.com. Brought to you by Siena Heights University, and it's a volleyball night tonight, Fred.
Yeah, it's always a special night for me. I'm a volleyball fan, and
bump set spike for you.
Yeah, hey, you ain't kidding, but what a great weekend they had.
They did have a good weekend. Friday night knocked off Defiance and then beat Lourdes on Saturday, so a good homecoming weekend and some wins there, so congratulations to them. We're going to have Corey Ness on, along with Olivia Norman, the alum, and Ella, I should have asked you while we were sitting here, Swoosh?
Swash.
Okay, I'll say that right now, Olivia Swash. So good to have you guys in with us, and Coach Corey, it's good to have you on once again, and you got to love homecoming weekend with the alumni and all that and getting two big wins.
Yeah, it was a great end to the first half of our season, so it was a good way to just start up into the next half.
So a lot of people there, and we just talked about that, so that's always nice, and a lot of people come back, and it's always nice to have that homecoming, especially this is your first one to as the head coach to be a part of and to be able to get two W's, that's nice.
Especially, it felt good. The team played well. You know, we've been struggling with some consistency lately, and I thought this past weekend we played just really true Saint ball. You know, we worked hard. We out-dug teams, which has been one of our goals. We out-served teams, which has been another one of our goals. You know, so it was good to just see them take, you know, another couple steps forward this past weekend.
Well, we talked to you before just about, you know, having the roster that you have and bringing some people in, and we'll talk to, you know, Ella a little bit about that too, being a freshman on the team. But, you know, we also talked, you know, during the break too or beforehand that you do have even a reserve squad this year. So to be able to keep that many people around, you know, that's a testament to you and Coach Barrington, what she was able to bring people into and kind of instill the, you know, just what this – the structure, the program, and was that something that was, you know, easy for you to kind of keep that rolling?
Yeah, I mean, I played for Kim when I was at Eastern, and that's just something that's always been ingrained in me, even coming from high school. I played at Bedford, so it was always, you know, hard work, family first, traditional things. You know, we back each other up, we work hard for each other. And just supporting us as a unit. This is your family away from home, and that's something that we've continued to carry through and making sure that we can lean on each other. And so that was an easy, I think, transition for the team anyway, to go from coach to me, just knowing that they can trust that same core values are going to go through.
Yeah, because I see, you know, five freshmen on your roster, then a mm-hmm. few on the reserve roster. So, you know, then also looking, I mean, there's a few sophomores as well, you know, a couple of juniors. Seniors, you can, you know, hopefully understand that they're ready to graduate, that they stick around. You got a couple of them. But to be able to keep some of those underclassmen, was that, did you have a lot of talking to do to kind of persuade them or, you know, keep them, just give them, you know, we talked a little bit before too about, you know, just you're going to get court time. You're going to show people that you can play at this level.
I think initially we had one team call with everybody together and just reassuring them that they're going to be taken care of here and they're going to be given the opportunities here to build their portfolio, if you will, to build their film for the next step, and that we would be here to support them and help them go through this next transition. I mean, they had already decided where they wanted to play for 4 years. So, you know, we wanted to give them the backing that we'll have their backs and we'll help them make this next decision the right one.
Yeah, I remember when we talked, I think it was at Aubrey's, I believe. Aubrey's, was it? Yeah, I think yeah. It was Aubrey's when we did the preseason thing. And I was just amazed at the attitude and of, you know, we were all kind of licking our wounds at that point. And now we're in the midst of a season, and you guys, I just want to talk a little bit about your consistency, though. You've been on a kind of a little bit of a roller coaster, you know? I mean,
yeah,
you sweep Adrian, and so you know, what's been, I guess, the your strength so far, and what do you got to do better, Coach?
Do better. I think things that we have to do better with is just being consistent, but that comes with, you know, we have so many rookies that are playing.
Repetition.
Yeah, I mean, we have five rookies that are actually starting and playing, and then we have four sophomores that are all playing that didn't have a whole lot of playing time last year. So it's just getting them court time at the collegiate level. So once we pan those out, you know, I think we're going to be fine. We have a really, really good back row. And just being able to rely on them to allow our hitters to relax and just make the smart plays that they need to make. And, I mean, among those freshmen are two setters. So that's a whole nother transition in itself. We went from a five-year starting setter to two freshman setters. So it's just, you know, the rough patch is getting these freshmen to understand the pace of the game and how they can rely on each other and the team. But things that we're doing well are – our nuggets, our little DSs. I mean, I have Ella here, and she's leading our team right now in digs as a three-rotation DS, which is absolutely phenomenal. You know, you're also leading in serves, like aces. I don't know if you know that. And you're third in the whack for aces. I don't know if you know that. So she's doing a phenomenal job as a freshman coming in, but, I mean, she's not the only one that's making an impact on this team.
Well, you talk about, you know, setters. It's not just, you know, a five-year. You're replacing
a Hall of Famer.
A Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and a five-time All-WAC. All-American. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
it's a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah, and I got two brand-new middles that are starting to replace this Hall of Famer. So it's a lot of big shoes to fill, but they're doing a really great job for what we have. You know, our bones are good. We just got to keep pressing forward.
Well, as Coach said too, you know, a little bit of roller coaster. You started out with some early wins. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to win against Aquinas, but then you get a few losses in a row after that. And you know, but to be able to come back, you know, get a couple more at, you know, Uno and Dearborn, but then Madonna, but then Adrian again, and then a couple more losses. And so, do you think that you can, you know, build off of this a little bit? I mean, you got Aquinas again coming up, who you beat.
We didn't beat Aquinas. No. We lost Aquinas. Yeah. We won our home tourney.
Oh, we lost, yes.
So we had
three
wins off the start at our home tourney. But Aquinas is undefeated in the WAC right now. Cornerstone is in the top, I think, three or four. But, I mean, it's going to be a tough week.
Okay.
But
Aquinas, Cornerstone,
again,
Madonna.
We're coming off of two wins, and I hope that we can keep taking steps forward. You know, but again, we're just a young, gritty team, and these kids want to prove themselves, and I think we have it.
Well, it was the playoff. What is it, eight get in the playoffs? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. And, yeah, so that probably has got to be a goal, I would assume.
Yeah, you know. Right now we're sitting eight.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
We have some teams that I think we can battle with and keep moving up. But, I mean, always the goal is to make it to the tournament, and that's always been a goal within this program since I've been here.
Well, and I think the good and bad with young too is, you know, you're going to have some of those, you know, inconsistent things like that. But at the same time, you know, you don't know what you don't know too. So you've got this young that maybe, who cares about that? Let's go after it. So
yeah, absolutely.
Are you seeing a little bit of that with that, you know, young squad?
Well, that's what I mean by we're gritty.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not afraid to make mistakes, I'll tell you that, which is a good and bad thing.
Right.
But good in the fact of, like, it doesn't, we don't seem to get rattled by teams that press us. It's usually just our errors that kill us. So just trying to get them to understand that, you know, if you just be disciplined and be consistent, good things will happen and good things will continue to happen. You know, and them just learning how to believe in themselves and trust their teammates and not try to do everything themselves, which is a hard lesson as rookies.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I guess, Coach, which I have to admit, I'm, especially the way you started with the tournament, I was shocked, to be truthful.
Thanks.
with how young you were, you know, to come out flying like you did. And the WAC is such a strong conference. But then you couple that with the fact that you've been kind of the bully the last number of years with a lot of these teams.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You know, they probably are sick of you kicking them. So that incentive had to be tough for your young people that are, you know, just learning the stuff. I guess my big question is, as you are moving on into the season, have you had much personnel change, or have you stayed with the same lineup most of the way?
Honestly, I have 13 girls on my roster, and all 13 find their way in the match every single match.
Wow.
So we use our entire roster. It's something that we've always done when Coach was here, too, is just embracing the depth that we have, making sure we can use every single person because we need an entire team to win. If I only play 6 or 7 with a libero, we're only as good as we are there. But all of these players make a huge impact for us. We're able to rely on the entire bench. It makes transitions easy if I need to plug somebody in because somebody's, you know, not getting the job done today. It's not like a, who's this person playing next to me? It's a, you know, this is just my teammate. This is another person filling in the spot, and we can do this together.
Well, because I think talking with Coach Barrington in the past, too, is NAI, you have a little bit more liberal of
we have unlimited subs. Yeah, it's fantastic. Like when we played at Adrian, we had to really think. Olivet, we had to really think about our rotations and our substitutions. But I love the WAC and the fact in the NAI that we can truly play rotation to rotation. And I think our girls are learning to embrace that as well and just be really excited to contribute in any way that they can. And it's truly going to help them at the next level.
And I don't know why there's not in any other. I mean, to me, it makes sense. You have a roster to be able to use.
Yeah.
You know, most other sports, you can sub in when you need to, and you know, somebody's not having a great day, it doesn't mean that they're punished for the rest of that game by bringing them out. I think it's a great way. I don't know why more people don't adapt that substitution rule.
I don't have an answer for you on that one. I truly love it.
Let me ask you a question for us people that love the game but really don't know what you're talking about. So explain, let's say the difference between the NCAA and the NAI substitute rules that we're talking about.
So you get 15 subs in the NCAA. So once you're at 15, those
you're
are the people. Yeah, that's all the people you can do. So for us, say we're in service Eve, you know, and I need somebody that can just go in and hammer the ball and get a side out for me, I can put them in.
Yes.
And then put the other person back in.
Right.
Or if I need somebody to block a certain person across the net, I could sub them in and sub them back out and not be hesitant on
right.
those substitutions. You really got to have things planned out when you're limited on subs. Most people won't run a 6-2. So we have the luxury of doing that, because that takes
right.
4 subs right there just for one full rotation. So we really enjoy it. We can have a serving specialist, which is awesome because we can have a stronger server with defense back there versus having, one of our bigs back there serving and playing defense. So it's just another added layer of strategic movement to have extra substitutions.
Now, for serving, though, do they have to wait a turnaround before they come? I mean, you can't just like serve, come out, come right back in and serve again.
So like a libero can go in and out. They
right.
have to wait one rotation. For that serving specialist, for instance, Anna Borbo on our team, she comes in for one of our middles, serves for that middle, and then she'll come right back out after she finished that, and then our lib will go in, or Anna will stay in for a couple rotations, but she'll have to sub back out. But again, that's 2 subs right there in that single rotation. So if I was limited on subs, that would probably be one of my first ones to cut.
And I know this is a heck of a comparison, but it's us Fairweather fans, which I am of all sports, but it's like watching the Tigers now in the playoffs. They constantly rotate pitching and hitting matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Where pitchers, a pitcher might pitch every game now, even if he only throws 8 or 10 pitches because of the left-right thing. And
right.
I've noticed that with people playing against the Tigers because of their left-handed hitters. And man, it does you know, that makes a big difference, what you're just saying. You
yeah,
know?
It changes the whole strategy of how you coach.
I can only imagine, you know, when you guys played Adrian and Olivet, you had to be real careful then.
Yeah.
Because one of those matches went five, too, I think, Olivet
went five. Yeah, and that was something that we talked about prior to the match. I said, hey, we're limited on subs here. We have to pay attention to our rotations. We have to be strategic in how we're playing on those. We have to protect our serves so we can save our substitutions. And I think the first set of that match was a wake-up call to our team of like, oh, we do use a lot, right? But that's okay. We still work through it. You know, came out on the bottom side of that match. But I think it was a good lesson for the girls and how valued their position truly is on this roster, and how we need every single person we have.
How have you done injury wise this year? I know in the past, you know, you guys have battled some key injuries. Has your team remained fairly healthy? Okay, I hear the knocking on wood there. That's good news.
A couple minor ones. But again, we're using a lot of people, so it allows the rest and recovery. You know, I'm not having too many people play six rotations, which is just a lot of – six rotations is a lot of added stress on your body regardless. So having the luxury of a team that is truly flexible and the fact that we can just plug and pull people in where necessary, it gives us a good rest.
Well, this is again, it's coming up to, you know, you said you're kind of your halfway point, so you're going to be going back through mm-hmm. these teams again. Mm-hmm. Looming ahead, I know we talked about this tough week coming up with some three very, very good teams, but mm-hmm. you know, after that, where are you looking at? I mean, you're staying in that eight spot. What do you have to do to make sure you stay in at least that number eight spot?
Well, we got to take care of the teams that we already beat. And then there's a couple teams that I think are right on the edge of us being able to take care of. And it's just remembering what they did the first time we played them and remembering that, you know, we were the ones that caused those matches to go south. You know, just making too many errors, and we've adjusted those and recognized those. So I think we truly have the ability to compete and gain a couple. It's going to take work. Nothing, I don't think, is going to come easy for us this year just because of what we're made up of. But I do have really, really gritty players.
What any teams that have been surprising in the conference?
I would say Rochester Christian is the most surprising because they've been at the bottom of the WAC for a few years.
Yes.
But, you know, they have a new coach there. So I think this is her third season. And she's a good coach. She came from Concordia. But it's just getting the right players plugged in. She's got some transfers there this year. So it's just, you know, kids that are already seasoned in what they're playing.
Right.
And they're finally putting the pieces together. So that was the most surprising. But they're a beatable team. They've got some losses. And it's just a matter of how you play their weaknesses.
Well, and, you know, Coach brought up the Tigers, and I think one of the best things, A.J. Hinch, I heard the other day, after they beat Seattle in game one, one of the first questions was, you know, coming into Seattle and, you know, how did you, you know, come in here and able to, you know, surprise them and sneak out a win? He says, no, you know, we earned it. You know, and I think that's kind of what you're talking about. You know, they didn't give us one. We earned it. And I think that's what you're talking about. You're a great team in that everyone you're winning, you're earning those wins.
Absolutely. I don't think any team walks in and truly expects to beat us. In talking to other coaches in the WAC, and they know that we're a very good defensive program. They've seen us play really well, and they've seen us fall off a couple sets, so they know coming into our matches that if we're on, it's going to be a battle.
Yeah.
And that's something that I want to see every single match is a true battle.
You know, Coach, one of the things that, you know, is so different from the old days that I started is the idea of these film exchange and then matches on film and, you know, or on tape, whatever you want to say. Is that something that we use a lot, too, at Siena? Or do you look at those? Can't you, I guess what I'm trying to say, you can look and almost every team's games.
Absolutely, yeah. So we have a system called Volumetrics that everybody uses in the WAC. And you can get some really detailed scouting reports off of all of those, and they'll do breakdowns of rotation by rotation and, you know, hitter tendencies and all that kind of stuff. And, like, I'll look at that. You know, we watched film a little bit in the beginning of the season, but I think with their young minds, it was getting really muddied for them. So, you know, we've done a lot of stuff as far as practices go, just focusing on the things that we need to accomplish. And I drip a few things to them in practice to what I've already done the scouting reports on. That way, you know, come game time, they say, oh, light bulb, I remember this. We worked on this, and this is what works. So,
you know, for the young ladies here that I can go back as when I coached basketball a long, long time ago, but coached a long time, this is how we did it. We had a guy, one of our assistant coaches would have a chart, and then and when we subbed, we would then manually keep how we did on each. Can you imagine that? We did it all, and then we'd go back through and figure out the combinations. Now it's all done.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
You might laugh, and then we used to in-person scout every team. I mean, literally, man, I'd been to Angola so much years ago and trying. You know, you'd go down and watch, and now it's all pretty much done by film. But has that dropped into the high school level to that level of technology and the filming stuff? I just wondered if high school teams have that same ability, you know?
You girls can speak to that.
You know what I mean?
Elle probably can more than I can. She was in high school.
Yeah, my high school team, we watched film before every match, like just to see, okay, where are these hitters hitting?
Okay.
Where are they playing defense at? And like just kind of the stuff we watch film on for college as well.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's a lot, you know, like in a lot of the other sports, they got the huddle films, and that's it's easy to go on and watch everything now and be able to do a lot of scouting. It is, you know, it is, as you said, though, Fred, when you go see somebody in person, though, it's a lot different than film, and you know that, too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I can tell you, too, I'm blue in the face that this person hits line or likes to hit line, but until they hit line on you twice and you miss it, you're like, oh, I remember now.
Yeah. I mean, and even like in football, I mean, a lot of coaches, somebody might look fast on film, and then you see them in person, they're like, ooh, they're a little faster than we thought even. And so, you know, when it's in person, things, it speeds it up, and it's a lot different even. So
that's how we feel about blockers. They look big on film, but then you see them in person, you're like, wow, that's a really big block.
There you go. All right, well, we're going to take a timeout. We're going to talk with Olivia Norman, who is an alum, just a newly inducted Hall of Famer, and Alice Wash, who is a freshman on the team. We'll be back with more right here. Saints Sports Weekly, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan offers online bachelor's and master's programs designed to fit your busy schedule. The online MBA program is available to students with degrees in various disciplines and does not require the GRE or GMAT testing for admissions. Designed to be flexible, convenient, and focused on ethical and sustainable business practices. Learn more at siennaheights.edu. Again, that's siennaheights.edu. Looking to move your career forward? By going back to school, you're investing in your future, and Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan wants to help you. We know you're busy. From raising a family to building a career, you may not have much free time available. From associates to bachelor's to master's degrees, our classes are designed so you can work and manage home life while earning your degree. Let Siena Heights University help you take the next step. Learn more at siennaheights.edu. Again, that's siennaheights.edu.
Thank you.
Welcome back inside the Cave Studios here downtown Adrian. 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com. And we're going to talk to just a recent player. Just last year was her last year, but she was inducted into the Hall of Fame the other night. Is she still taking some classes here at Siena Heights? Olivia Norman. Olivia, welcome into Saint Sports Weekly.
Thank you.
So you haven't graduated yet, we've established.
No. I graduate in the spring.
Okay, and you're an elementary major.
Elementary education, yep.
So where did you come in from? What high school?
Lapeer.
Lapeer, okay. Mm-hmm. How did you end up down here at Siena Heights?
Just felt right. I don't know. I graduated 2021, yeah, okay. So I had all the COVID stuff.
Wow. Yeah.
And it just worked out. I took a late visit my senior year of high school and committed in December.
Did you have many other options?
I had a couple other ones in the WAC. I would talk to like Rochester and Aquinas, and I think that was it in the WAC. A couple other D3s, but.
What made Siena special?
I don't know. I just came, and it's cliche to say I had a feeling, but like I did have a feeling. So Coach and Corey were great. The girls were great. I didn't have no negative part of the experience at all.
The intangibles are always stuff you can't feel, you know. Believe it or not, I went to work at Siena 49 years ago, and I came from across town, you know. That's where I was at Adrian, and it was a special place.
Yeah.
And you could feel it, always feel it. So are you student teaching now, or are you student teaching second semester?
I student teach second semester.
Do you know where you're going?
Yep, I'm going to be in a kindergarten classroom and then in a fifth grade classroom, both in Adrian.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Do you know what school?
First I'll be at Alexander, and then I'll be at Lincoln.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
She had my granddaughter in preschool.
Preschool.
Really?
Run into her again probably at Alexander with the kindergartners, so that'd be fun. But we talked earlier, you started in psych and then switched over to education. And when you decided on education, how did you decide to go into elementary ed?
Well, I wanted to do something with kids in psych. I knew that. But I don't know, my parents are both in education. My mom's a speech path, and my dad's a math teacher. And so I was just like, now or never. My mom was like, it might add an extra year, but it's worth it to be happy.
Right.
Yeah.
Doing something you like. So.
Well, you know, one of the issues that years and years ago when I did what Coach did, we would find so many young men and women that thought they wanted to be teachers, and then they'd realize, geez, I don't really like kids that much. You know what I'm saying? Something that I think we do so well now, and I'm sure at other schools too. You guys get into working with kids early, didn't you?
That's one of the things about Siena was really great about that. You get into the classroom the first semester.
So when you get,
and that doesn't happen everywhere,
right?
Well, yeah.
So when you got here as a volleyball player, were your expectations? I mean, here you are, a Hall of Famer. Was that something you ever dreamed of, or did you just...
No. I had no, like, thought, like, I would even play my freshman year. And then everyone got COVID and were quarantined, and they were left with me, so I played. Yeah. And here we are.
You stayed away from it then, huh? Did you get COVID?
Well, I was, like, I was a freshman, so I was at, like, orientation week or whatever. So I avoided the big quarantine that went around the team, and somehow, yeah.
What was the biggest adjustment when, you know, and obviously Lapeer, that's great athletics up there, but to the collegiate game and in general, what was the biggest
thing? I'm a big homebody. So being away from my mom and my dad was really hard. But for volleyball-wise, like the speed of the game was the biggest adjustment.
And it had to be great. That's what's great about you had a family within your team.
I did,
and
that's another thing about Corey and Coach is they always made that apparent. Like, they put our well-being above us as, like, us as a human being was always put above who we were as a volleyball player, and that made it really special.
Well, talk about your career, you know, just about what type of leader you were. Were you a leader? Did you evolve into a leader?
I think I definitely evolved into a leader. When I came, I didn't talk much. I think Corey can attest to that. I was pretty quiet. And when it's the middle, you can't really be quiet. Yeah. You can't be successful in quiet. So I got comfortable. The girls were really welcoming for the most part and made that transition a lot easier. I mean, I met some of my best friends playing volleyball at Siena.
They're all gone now, though, right?
I got one left. I got one left. She's still here. But, yeah. I don't know. I definitely developed into it. And I think I had, there were good leaders ahead of me who taught me how right. to be a good leader and what that looks like.
Right.
And so, like she mentioned, Aubrey. Aubrey, 5-year starter, took me under her wing my freshman year and one of my best friends to the day. But she kind of, like, taught me how to be a good leader, and I think helped encourage me to develop those skills as well.
Well, I'm looking at your bio too. So you played basketball, volleyball, and tennis at
tennis 1 year.
Oh,
picked
okay.
it up my senior year. Yeah, in high school.
Hey, it's a time.
For fun, me and my best friend just tried it out. Yeah,
it's on here though. So
it's a lot harder than it looks for sure.
Yeah, no mm-hmm. kidding. I don't. Actually, my daughter played it as a freshman. So no.
Yeah,
I'm not doing this
it's
anymore.
Hard. It's really hard.
But so, did you play basketball for?
I actually did not. So basketball was my original like sport. My mom had to, she forced me to try out for volleyball in 7th grade.
Really?
Did not want to. I had no desire to do it. She talked me into it. I wanted to play basketball in college. Then I ended up getting mono, got like really sick, whatever, long story. I ended up playing volleyball. And
that's
kind of,
I'm happy you did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's kind of, you might laugh, but people start so young now.
I know.
So there you got people by the 7th grade that have played 2 or 3 years at club. So you must have been a natural.
I was a late bloomer.
You're a late bloomer.
Yeah.
Did you play club up in that area?
I played at Arsenal. It was a small club up in Clio. They still are there. But I ended up actually, I didn't play basketball my senior year. And then I played club because that's when I decided I didn't want to run up and down a court any longer. I was over
well,
it.
And it's just hard now and for you
to
all
do
to do
sports.
Both because of the push-pull stuff.
Yeah.
Were you a natural? Or did you have to develop? The biggest thing I thought, and I had 3 daughters, so I'm a volleyball nut. I love it. I love watching it. I can say this now that we're, you know, man, I used to fight as being the AD. I said, hey, you got the soccer games, man. I love volleyball, you know. But the arm swing was always the toughest thing for me, you know, just even to teach it. Were you just natural with it or
just kind of came. I don't know.
Because hitting is, you know, it's not.
It's hard.
It's hard.
We had to fix Liv's feet. That was her thing. We had
it
to
was
right?
all messy. Yeah. they fixed me freshman year for sure. But
and it's funny you say that, too, because I just read a story. I can't remember. It's a girl on the west side of the state. She's actually going out to Long Beach to play, but she didn't play till like 7th grade. She was a dancer. Mm-hmm. And she's small but can jump well. But the thing that I was reading in the story about her was, you know, just having the balance of a dancer and things like that. Her footwork was really, really good. And so that's something that if you don't come in with that is something that is harder to.
Yeah, my spacing, my footwork, all like the little things that are needed to be good, they fixed for me. So.
Well, and being a middle blocker, so I mean, that's different too. I mean, the timing of jumps and figuring out when you need to
jump. And I was lucky
jump.
That I had Aubrey as a setter because it's not easy to connect with a setter as a middle.
Right.
It is hard. And we kind of just connected right away. I think, like, because we were such good friends right away, that helps with our connection on the court. But was definitely very blessed in that department.
Well, and as you said, too, I mean, you can't be quiet as a middle and being the setter. I mean, you have to have that kind of, you know, that camaraderie there, just that you know, synergy between you.
And, like, the trust.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that they were really good at, Coach and Corey, is creating a trust and, like, a family bond between everyone on and off the court. Like, it was an expectation.
It's like the Fockers, the circle of trust.
Yeah. You know, in your time, you played in a lot of big matches. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been pretty doggone good. Talk about some of the big matches and the rivalries that you remember. And
Indiana Tech was always, it's always fun to play them. It was more fun when we won, but it was always fun to play them. It was always competitive. Lourdes is a rival, but we usually beat them, so that wasn't really... That was never, like, the exciting matches. The exciting matches were always Indiana Tech, Aquinas, Cornerstone, and we always competed. So it was always great.
Well, and people talk about rivalries, and it's always, you know, if it's a one-sided rivalry, it's not as good as others. But, you know, even if you're, you know, you want to beat those Aquinas and those teams, but at the same time, you know you're in a match when you're going to play those. You know, it's easy to get up for those games.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
So, again, as a teacher, so are you wanting to stay in this area or you want to go back home?
I'll probably go over to Grand Rapids.
Oh, really?
Yep.
No kidding.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of, you got to admit, that's the hot part of the state right now. You know, things are going over there.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. So.
Going to end up doing something at Aquinas for Cornerstone.
Oh, no.
Helping that out or something.
No, no. Nope. I just got to get my first year of teaching under my belt.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. That's great.
Yeah.
So do you think, I mean, you're working now, you're going to be, you know, with the younger kids. Do you know kind of what grade that you would really like to concentrate on?
I mean, in a perfect world, if I could be a kindergarten teacher my first year, I'd love it. Yeah. But whatever's meant to be, it'll be. So wherever I land will be good.
Do you think coaching's in? Are you going to do any coaching, you think?
I'm coaching a 15s travel team.
Are you?
For volleyball.
Here in the area? Or?
Yeah, charged up.
Okay.
Yep, so I'm coaching.
Where are
that
they
team.
Out of?
Are they were originally out of Hillsdale.
Okay,
and
good.
And they've expanded to Adrian.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah.
Well, I can see charged up to Hillsdale Chargers. Is that probably part of
it? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It. And now they have an offsite to come see an Adrian. They have two buildings that they're using.
So it'll be like my first time really being the coach. So I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited. It'll be good.
Yeah, that's exciting times to be able to do that. So what, Grand Rapids, just because it's an up-and-coming
my
area?
My boyfriend's over there.
Oh, what a guy. Now we get the rest of the story.
And my best friend,
Okay, so. Now we understand the whole reasoning heading that way and not just... an up-and-coming area, so
it's a great area, though. It really is.
It is. Yeah. It is. I mean, and it's there's a lot of different schools out there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of options.
A lot of options.
You know, within a surrounding area, you probably don't have to go too far.
Yeah.
You know, wherever you live, you can probably find something nice out there. So, well, again, congratulations. How was the Hall of Fame then the other night?
It was nice.
Again, Coach.
It was hot,
said,
but it was
you
nice.
You know, not expecting to be that, but you know, once you got your 4 years done and you looked at what your resume was.
And it was really cool that Corey and Coach were both there because they have been my coaches this whole, whole career. So it was awesome that they were both there.
Yeah, and that is nice. And it's great, you know, especially you're going to be, you know, the last class ever that's in it. So.
And my two best friends who I played with both got inducted too. So it was a really cool night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, you know, and again, kind of different times going on, but that's a great memory that you always have. So that's
no,
pretty
absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, again, that's Olivia Norman. She is our alumni guest here tonight. We're going to take a quick time out. We're going to come back and talk with Alice Swash about, you know, getting here and what her first year is like at Siena Heights. We'll be back with more right after this. 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
Looking to move your career forward? By going back to school, you're investing in your future, and Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan wants to help you. We know you're busy. From raising a family to building a career, you may not have much free time available. From associates to bachelor's to master's degrees, our classes are designed so you can work and manage home life while earning your degree. Let Siena Heights University help you take the next step. Learn more at sienaheights.edu. Again, that's sienaheights.edu. Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan offers online bachelor's and master's programs designed to fit your busy schedule. The online MBA program is available to students with degrees in various disciplines and does not require the GRE or GMAT testing for admissions. Designed to be flexible, convenient, and focused on ethical and sustainable business practices. Learn more at sienaheights.edu. Again, that's sienaheights.edu.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.siennaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Welcome back inside the Cape Studios. Jeff Bowman along with Coach Fred Smith, and we're talking a little volleyball tonight, and we're now moving to a current player, as we've got Ella Swash here with us. And Ella, welcome in inside the Cave for Saint Sports Weekly.
Thank you.
So you're a freshman from North Branch.
Yes.
And again, we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, how did you make your way here, and then after all the news, what really made you decide to stay here?
My story is very, very similar to Olivia's. But Coach Kim had been following me from my freshman year of high school all the way to senior, and I had no clue. We played at an annual tournament down at Owens Community College every year. And so my senior year, I had probably one of the worst games of my career.
This is with your club team?
My high school team.
Oh, your high school team, okay.
And she talked to me after, and I was like, I promise you, that is not what a typical game looks like for me. And so she gave me her, like, contact information, and I went through the rest of high school season and was like, I don't really know if I want to play because I'm a nursing major. So I was like, I kind of just want to focus on education. Right. And Siena Heights has a really good nursing program. One of my really close family friends, Wyatt Howe, he just graduated. He played football at Siena. Yeah. So we talked with them, and he's like, yeah, like, the nursing program is really good. You have a really good, like, one-on-one with your teacher and your professor. So that's, like, why I started looking into Siena. And then season ended, and I was like, oh, wow, I really, really miss volleyball. And so I contacted Coach Kim and Coach Corey and was like, hey, can I set up a visit, come down? And then I think my visit was late November, and then I loved the campus. I had lunch with the team, and it felt like home.
Right.
So that's kind of what led me.
So as a nursing, looking ahead then, are you still wanting to be in nursing? So, mm-hmm. You know, you're looking at what schools offer both?
Yeah. It's kind of hard right now with season because we reach out.
It's not time yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It will be.
But it might be, easier for you, especially because it is maybe a little more limited with the nursing compared to an education, you know, direction, and going into the nursing side, though. It's probably a lot less options out there that do both. So
yeah.
Talk a little bit about your freshman year, though, coming in. You know, we talked, Olivia talked a little bit about the speed and that. What are you noticing at this level compared to the high school level that's really maybe been more of a challenge for you coming in as a freshman?
Definitely the speed, realizing that, like, there's not just one player you have to worry about. Like, everybody has their strengths, and just realizing, like, the tendency of hitters and, like, being on the defensive end, like, reading that, staying disciplined, and then just, like, executing.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of your high school teams, you go, okay, they got one or two people that we really got a key on.
Yeah.
College level, there's more than one or two people. That's for darn sure. But so you are, you're a DS, so you come in and your job is to get those digs. And then, as Coach said too, I mean, obviously your serving's pretty key right now, and you're being top five in the WAC and aces and that. So good for you.
Thank you.
Is that something that you've always been pretty good at?
Yeah, I think I was second in D2 for high school for my serving and serve aces. So I didn't think I started off as strong as I had been for serving, because I was like, all right, I'm missing quite a few and I'm not picking up as many aces, because, like, the level of passing is a lot different in high school too. So it's like, all right, but I had no clue that I was in the top five for the WAC.
Now, if I remember, North Branch, that's pretty good. Is that where you played?
Mm-hmm.
They're usually pretty tough, aren't they?
Yeah, my sophomore and junior year, we won Division II state champions.
Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations. Now, obviously a volleyball school. Did you participate in other sports?
Yeah, I played volleyball, basketball, softball, and I ran track.
Man.
So what years did you win it?
My sophomore year and my junior year.
Junior year.
So it had been 2023 and 2022.
Okay. Yeah, because I know what Tecumseh was in the finals last year against Country Day, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they're having another good year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so I couldn't remember where they were at in that. But so, again, coming in as a DS, so how often, you know, are you rotated through when it gets to the back row then?
Yeah, I'm a three rotation player. So I only stay in the back row. I don't ever go up to hit. You don't want me hitting.
Yeah, there's 5'6", 6'1" over here, so I can see the difference there.
Yep.
A little bit of a, and that's a lot taller to you.
Oh yeah.
But is that something that you always did? What were you more in high school? Did you?
I was a DS libero in high school, so I'd always been back row, three rotation, six rotation, back row player. So.
Question for Coach on this, because she said DS libero. So how do you choose? Is it?
There's so many aspects into it. You know, Ella's one of our more quiet DSs, but her brain, you know, shoots off a lot. But usually our liberos, we want them to be really vocal. We want them to have huge range. I mean, we require our liberos to dig probably 60% of the court back there. I have Ella in middle back, and I want her to protect my setter. So I want her to dig the other 40% of the back row, and she does a phenomenal job at that. I mean, you can see it. She's got the most digs right now on our team. She's tied for 11th in the WAC right now for digs per set. So just outside of that 10, I mean, she does a phenomenal job back there. And, I mean, she's the best one on our team that goes corner to corner. So each position back there truly requires its own, you know, its own set of skills. But I truly trust her the most.
Yeah, we got 32 service aces on the year, I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing up here, errors. Goose eggs. That's good.
So, you know, you're going to walk out of here with a big head. You know? one question, though. How early did you start the game?
Seventh grade.
Was
not one of those. Yeah, that started really, really early. I was actually a basketball player. I grew up, my mom was really big in basketball. So I grew up thinking I wanted to play college basketball. But then, fortunately, I had one rough year with the coach, and I was like, I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can.
So did you have to make a decision then? Did you finish basketball, or were you then?
Yeah, I finished it. I played all 4 years of high school.
Oh, boy, good for you. That's great. Now,
well, try to knock her ego back down, though. I'm looking. She doesn't have any kills, so there.
Yeah. So,
she wasn't ready to correct you on that one.
I'll let her not float out of here with that. So,
but you know, and I guess now that you know halfway through a season, is, and I don't mean to put it on you here, but is it, you want to continue to play?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Good. That's good.
Definitely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is. Again, it's got to be. I know you know, you talk about being in the middle of the season, so it's you know, not thinking too far ahead, but you know, at the same time, it's got to be a rough thing for you because you're making friends, you're getting used to what's going on at Siena Heights, and it's gonna change for you. So, but I guess in this climate of college sports where there's so much transfers and things going on, it's not that out of the ordinary now for people to be switching schools.
That's the one thing I'm probably going to miss the most is our team. Like, I was especially nervous coming in, being like, oh, you have, like, the older girls who have more experience, and I don't want to, like, just be, like, almost a burden on them. But no, like, it's been awesome. Like, I'm going to miss these girls so much.
Well, and as we talked with Coach prior to the show, too, is, you know, you've been in, you know, overall all 19 matches. So, you know, so you're showing wherever you go at that next level that you can play at the collegiate level. And that's got to be something, though, that is going to be promising for you to look forward to say, I can come in and can play for you. So that at least that's got to be something that, you know, you got in your back pocket compared to maybe them recruiting some high schoolers or whoever, that you can come in and say, I've done this already at your level.
Yeah, I'm very, very competitive, so if, like, having that little extra year of experience, whereas if you're going to get a DS or a libero out of high school who don't know the speed yet, thankfully that gives me a little one-up. But,
you know, one of the things that has separated our volleyball program, you know, certainly we've had some strong women programs at Siena, but it's what we talked about a little earlier, intangible is team culture, right? And that's one of the things now that you've been through. You know what you're looking for, and so it won't be as hard. You know what I mean? Because that intangible of culture really is the buzzword of a lot of people. And it's kind of like I always say, fall in love, man. It either there or it isn't. And I think you can tell with SHU volleyball, it's been there. And so, we certainly wish you luck on that. Academically, how's the adjustment been for you?
It's a little bit of a struggle, but nothing like just getting the hang of studying and actually having to do homework. Because coming out of senior year of high school, where I took the easiest classes possible, I don't think I did homework at all, unless I had an exam and then I studied real last minute because there wasn't much. But this is like, if I'm not at practice or I'm not in class, I'm studying always.
Right, and you have to be in the nursing. It's a competitive.
So do you have some nursing history, I mean, for family or friends that got you wanting to be a nurse, or how did that come about?
My mom studied to be an RN, but then went to hyperbaric tech. So I kind of grew up with that, and, like, she was always talking about, like, the hospital and, like, how she got to help people. And so, and my dad also had melanoma.
Oh boy.
4 years back now.
Okay.
So I was always, like, very, like, grateful that, like, the nurses took good care of him, and, like, he always had a good hospital experience, so I want to help other people like that.
Well, that's a great way. I mean, it's a lot of times either you've grown up in it, or there's been an experience that you've realized that, you know, that is something that you want to do because you've seen it and helpful there. So is there any type of nursing that you want to get into? Have you thought about that much?
I want to be a nurse anesthetist.
Okay.
Mm. So preferably if I could stay in ER, very fast-paced.
Right.
I cannot sit down. I get very, very bored. So the adrenaline rush is always good.
Yeah. Well, I can see. I mean, when you're competitive in sports, you can see that's translating into what you want to do next. So, well, good for you. You know, thank you much for this. And I want to get back to Coach just for a second, just because, you know, again, being the last year here and, you know, going through this, and you know, your chore normally is out recruiting, but now you're going to have to try to reach some of your contacts, maybe to help some of your girls move on. Is that something that you know, you're thinking a little bit about that as well?
Well, I think since they said that we were closing, that's been, you know, my number one goal is to make sure that they have another home to go to. You know, I've always been taught to put myself last, and whether that's right or wrong, it is what it is. But these kids deserve to go somewhere else because this wasn't in the cards.
Right.
Right? So I've been talking to people since day one about where we have opportunities for them to go, and talking to the girls about what they still want to go into, and what their plans and wants and needs are. And I think one thing that we have going is that we're just an open book. You know, there's no secrets here, because we've got to be able to trust each other.
Right.
It's got to be a two-way street. And, you know, I'm not here to hold them back, because that's not for me. It's for them. So I want to make sure that they go where they can. If they want to go play, we're going to find a way.
Well, I imagine, you know, Coach Kim, too, with some of her contacts and people she knows.
100%. Yeah, I mean, I still talk to her probably twice a week. So, but, I mean, she'll always be a friend and a mentor for me. And she's got, you know, 40 years in the business, so she's got deeper pockets than I do as far as conversations and people she knows. So I'm not afraid to use my resources. I'm sure these girls appreciate it, too. But I'm willing to help them in any way I can.
Yeah, because I mean, it was a blind side to everybody. So
absolutely,
you know, you've got, as you said, you know, you're looking at what they're going to do, but you still have yours as well that you've got to think about
out.
Later.
Yeah,
you're a great
later.
Coach. I'm telling you, your background is
thank you
exemplary. You're going to be coaching somewhere for sure, Coach.
It just I hope
depends
so.
On
it was
what
my
you
dream, so I hope I can continue to live
no
that
question.
Dream.
No question.
Well, and you're not the first, and you know, definitely the last that talks about, you know, how much Coach Barrington's meant to them and to get to that next level, and what she's meant to, especially Siena Heights volleyball, the men's and the women's side.
Absolutely.
And she talks so much about you. She's so proud. I mean, and that was one thing we talked about. I did talk to her. She was just so proud that you're here. And I know that she'll help. And believe me, this is where, you know, we try not to dwell on the negative about this. But like I said, you know, I've been there, with three quarters of my life now. We were all surprised, but now we can't do anything about it. We just gotta keep on pushing, and you guys are doing that, man, and keep it up. We're so proud of Saints volleyball.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and again, for you that are playing, you know, Ella, this, you know, to be able to take the reins and say, okay, this is the last year. We got to do the best we can as Saints to finish out.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And that kind of the theme in the locker room.
What's the theme, Ella?
Now or never.
It's now or never.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Well, again, ladies, we appreciate your time with us today. Thank you very much, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Once again, that's been Saints Sports Weekly here at 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com. We'll get out of here so we can move to ACL Access coming up next right here at 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.